2 weeks ago, the small city of Richmond, just north of us here in Berkeley, was rocked by a harrowing assault at a homecoming dance.
911, where's your emergency?
Hi, it's in Richmond High School.
What's going on?
There's a girl that's like hecka drunk, and she's naked.
Where at the high school?
It's in the back in Amherst and Hayes.
Is she on the school property?
Yeah, she's like in the back though. She's like by the dumpster.
Do we know if there was anybody around her?
Is there anybody around her? People that passed by her have been seeing her, but nobody wants to call a cop, so we decided to call.
Last Saturday, community members from throughout the Bay Area came together to show solidarity with the survivor and her community. Over 200 people marched from Richmond High School to nearby Wendell Park for a rally. Alicia Holland organized the event, which she calls a peace march, with Women's Magazine producer Kiki Poe. Alicia carried a sign which read, "Rape Survivor, Raped Three Times."
Our co-organizer Kiki has on her Rape Survivor t-shirt, and you know, as soon as I got here this morning, it's just, you know, we all are like hugging and crying together. You know, it's kind of like a coming out, and it's kind of breaking the silence around it, demystifying the whole thing of, you know, I'm not humiliated by this anymore. This isn't going to have power over me. This happened to me. Anybody that happens to, we just want to be an example. It's not going to break you, and we're going to start talking about it, and we're going to put an end to it as a community.
For many other women at the rally, the publicity surrounding the homecoming rape also brought back painful memories. Monique Cook lives near Richmond High.
On that Saturday, I saw the lights. I knew something was going on at the high school. When I heard about it, it was disturbing. I'm a rape survivor, so I can imagine. I mean, my heart went out.
Wendy Dietz, a self-defense teacher, helped to organize the rally.
My rape unleashed in me an unyielding desire to do something to prevent this from happening to one other girl. I remember being 15 thinking this shouldn't happen to one more girl.
Though it has been more than 30 years since women in San Francisco organized the first Take Back the Night march in the country, blaming the victim is still common in cases such as this one.
You assume that people are going to, especially other women, are going to not take a stance of, well, she shouldn't have been there. And I'm a lesbian, and you know, a lot of people in my community are here today, and I was talking to another friend of mine on the phone, and her partner was in the background, and we were talking about how atrocious it was and how there was never an excuse for it, and don't care what she did, you know. And her partner, a lesbian woman, in the background saying, well, she shouldn't have put herself in that position. I'm not saying it's her fault, but she shouldn't have been there.
And I'm here to tell everybody, as we all know, it's never the victim's fault. Ever. Ever. Ever.
Ever.
Ever.
Ever.
Ever.
Women carried hand-lettered signs reading, "We protect the rights of our children." Valeria, a Richmond resident, brought her 4-year-old daughter. I asked what she would tell her daughter when she got older about how to stay safe.
To be honest, I don't know. You know, you want to protect your kids and you want to try to get them to do the right thing, but you know, it could happen at any time. It could happen with a boyfriend of hers, you know, so I just want to try to teach her and let her know that this is not okay, and if it does ever happen to her, to please speak out so that the people that are involved are held responsible and pay the consequences for their mistakes.
Making sure that the rapists are held accountable was a nearly universal reason people gave for coming out to the peace march. But feelings were far from unanimous about what the consequences should be.
You know, I don't even know. I'm trying to be on a peaceful level, but I just feel like they should definitely spend the rest of their lives in jail. That's for sure.
Maybe life in prison? No one should be raped. Whatever punishment they choose, people should never get off.
I think they should be punished severely, if not publicly. You know, it has to send a message. You know, they are children, but at the same time, when do you separate, you know, these actions from children? Children's actions, normal children actions.
Of course, jail time. I'm not sure how long.
My name's Issa Nakazawa. I'm a teacher at Kennedy High School in Richmond. I don't really believe in the instruments of the state as mechanisms invested in healing. I think the justice system and the police are not necessarily my preferred method of justice. And I think there needs to be a facilitation of difficult conversations within the community about how to create alternative systems of accountability among each other. Prisons are just holding places, really, you know? It's a culture of invisibility, of creating, of shunting these young people to the margins and pretending nothing ever happened. So I think that is what's going to happen. I think they're going to get thrown in jail and made an example out of, and I don't support that.
I think that they should go to jail and everything.
What do we want? Peace!
I feel that they should be persecuted. However, I feel that they need to be educated, because if no one ever tells them that it's wrong, then they won't know.
Stop Sexism in Our Culture That Poisons Our Youth was carried by a man. Next to him, a pregnant woman carried the same sign in Spanish. For many in the crowd, the issues of how young men are trained to violence was paramount. Rob Jackson works with Beats, Rhymes, and Life, which uses hip-hop to create change.
We stand in solidarity with the victims. The reason why I use this word in plural is because even the perpetrators of this crime have been victimized by the systemic gender roles indoctrinated in all of us since birth.
Dennis Kim is with the organization Youth Speaks.
The way it happened to this girl, are we going to accept them when the administration raped whole other nations? They do this on a huge basis. They're raping Iraq, they're raping Afghanistan, and the two issues are intimately tied, because if you've seen the pictures of those soldiers raping that young Iraqi girl, you know that it's not an abstract connection at all. What they're doing out there is what's happening here. And the ironic thing is, especially the young males of color here, we've been drafted into a war against ourselves. And we're using those tactics of war, unfortunately. We're going to have to stop this up here and down here.
Talon Nunez's sign said, rape is a men's issue.
I have this sign that says, you know, rape is a men's issue. That doesn't mean that I hate men. You know, a lot of people will go right there. It's like, but we don't talk about the fact that men hate women. And you can see the proof of that by everywhere, you know, bodies being uncovered and rape culture. From a very young age, they're taught not to listen to girls. You know, they're being told that, you know, we're irrational, we're emotional, we're hysterical, we're illogical. We're weak. Author J.K. Rowling, the author of the Harry Potter series, she used her initials instead of her name, Joanne, because boys won't willingly read stories written by women. You know, Pixar and Disney, they use male lead characters as the protagonists because boys won't willingly go to those movies to watch girls as the heroes. So that tells me they're not listening to us. And they will hear other boys and men, so we need to make sure those other boys and men are saying what needs to be said and doing what needs to be done.
The responsibility of men to end the violence was a theme echoed throughout the day.
And when are we as men going to say, and I'm sick of the conditioning that's been put on us, and if there's something that I've said that was flawed or off, please draw me aside, because I'm a member of this community, and I don't want to be divided from this community. Hold me accountable for it, and let me know, because there's something you know that I don't, and we need each other in this.
I'm getting a teaching credential. I feel like young men need good young male role models, or I should say need good role models, and I think that I try to be that in my daily life, and I realized I could apply that professionally in teaching.
We're out here to support the sister from Richmond High School that was violated, and I wanted to be one of the young folks out to support her. You know, we're not getting this message on the door to people, to your home life. The message that, you know, we're geniuses, we're royalty, we're scientists and mathematicians, we're not just criminals, you know. We have a history that's so powerful that I think if some of these brothers knew that history, we wouldn't treat each other the way we treat each other.
March organizers and speakers emphasized that supporting the survivor of the assault should not mean demonizing the community of Richmond or young men of color in general. Mayor Gail McLaughlin.
This is not about Richmond. This is not about Richmond youth. This is about a much greater systemic problem, as you all know. Richmond youth have been organizing at Richmond High, have had vigils and a wonderful press rally and a program expressing themselves through their poetry and their music. Richmond youth are about good, positive things.
There's also a conversation that's complicated by race and class. I'm not here to apologize for anything. I'm not doing that. All I'm saying is that they're going to try to divide this beloved community even more in the next few weeks and months. We just have to be prepared for that. They're going to use that little snapshot and try their best to push several agendas. One, they're going to try and blame the victim. You know that's going to happen. And second of all, you know they're going to try and use this to keep pushing the criminalization of black and brown men. You know that's going to happen. And as a community that has the authority to step up and collectively say, no, this is not going to happen again, we can push back on both of those fronts. And we can start a new conversation that's outside of the bounds of the official conversation.
Issa Nakazawa has had many conversations with her students at Kennedy High School about the incident.
There's a range and continuum of ideas and opinions. I think a lot of my young people just do not express any kind of shock at a situation like this, because the reality is, like, the culture of the government and of the world that we live in is extremely violent. Violence is ubiquitous. It's everywhere. So I think they're just trying to get a handle on the news media catastrophizing the situation and making them feel like they're under a magnifying glass. I don't feel like they think the news media is very concerned for them. I think they're just trying to paint Richmond as a community of crime and abandon it when it needs its resources. So I think that's the youth's opinion in general.
For many, the most shocking aspect of the assault was that so many students watched and did not help the young woman. Jessica Mitchell of Richmond.
And this is insane that this young lady was brutally attacked for 2 hours and nobody thought to say anything or do anything. Because I tell you, I would have been a snitch that evening. I'm sorry, I would have had to intervene in whatever way. I would have sacrificed my life, because that's what it's about. It's about sacrifice.
My name is Sean McGowan. I'm a senior at Oakland High. Think about it for a second. If that was your little sister, niece, or something getting raped, like, wouldn't you want to tell? So I just had to think about it for a second, and then I just kind of got a little outraged. Like, wow, y'all just really just sat there and watched. That's not right.
I'm actually surprised that none of the witnesses are being charged, because, you know, in things such as robbery or murder, the witnesses are accessory.
About responsibility and about bystander culture, I want to bring it back to, there was a point where a cultural norm was for black bodies to be hanging from knotted ropes, right? And white families kicking it under the tree, having picnics. That used to happen. That was a bystander culture. That was a cultural norm. It wasn't that long ago.
My main concern would not be so much initially about the students who were involved in the attack, but those that stood around, which is part of why I'm here. Those people have to be empowered, and we need people and adults in the community to show them that they can have that power, or that the power is theirs if they want to use their voice.
But this is not about snitching. Also, I want to point out, a young brother at Met West brought this up. He stood up, he raised his hand, and he said, well, if the whole community stands up and says something, is it snitching? If the whole community stood up and said something, what could they say? What could they do?
Richmond residents felt that the march was a positive step toward creating more unity.
The community is starting off on a good foot. This kind of thing here is exactly what we need. It's kind of bringing us together, you know, letting us know who's here in the community that we live in.
There needs to be more awareness and for people to come together and try to have a voice and one mind.
Toward the end of the rally, I looked up and saw a row of small boys in front. They held up pieces of notebook paper painted with hearts and flowers and the words peace and love. Samuel, an 11-year-old originally from Mexico, had brought his cousins, who are 6 and 7.
I was, like, playing with my cousins, and then I came over here, and I said, it must be some boring thing. But then I saw, like, people were holding up the rape sign. So I thought, what if it would happen to me, the whole community would be on my side. So I start to come over here.
For Women's Magazine, I'm Kate Raphael in Richmond.